Moncrief on News Talk.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk, 087 1400 106. You can send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com or follow us on Twitter. Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley are here once again to address some of the major issues of the day, the real important stuff. Now, here's the first question. My boyfriend, you always start with this, you know, my partner is the most wonderful, like, okay, we're taking that as a given, you know. My boyfriend is one of the sweetest men I've ever met. He's always supportive, but I have noticed he tends to go from hobby to hobby. We've only been together for about 4 months, and he's taken up hobbies such as football, painting and Lego. All lasting a month. The lack of commitment to hobbies does concern me as we're still in a new relationship. However, he does ask me about moving in with him and his roommate full time. His newest hobby is singing. I do not mean to be unsupportive because I really care for him, but he serenaded me on Valentine's Day as a gift. It was god awful. No note was hit. He told me he'd been secretly practicing for the last month. It is lasting longer than any other hobby. When I'm at work, now he started singing when a group of friends come over on a Friday for a few drinks, and their reaction is always silent, which is rare for our group, but he takes it as them being in awe of his George Michael-esque voice. They've come up to me to ask what I think of his singing. I don't know what to say. I haven't mentioned to anyone how much I cannot stand the singing, but in my head, I am saying that it is like hearing a really drunk person sing karaoke at 4 a.m. What should I do? Should I tell him that he may not be as good as he thinks?
For God's sake, like, what? I don't know. Is this a generational thing? Why would you not tell him that he can't sing? Why would you all stay quiet and smile politely while he's murdering various songs because he hasn't got a note in his head? I don't understand that. Why would you not? I couldn't
crush
imagine.
His dreams, Barbara. That's right. Stamp well, on his dreams.
Sherwood, my dearly beloved, hasn't a note in his head. And I remember very early doors, we were going somewhere in the car and I was driving and he started to sing along with something on the radio. And besides the fact that I nearly crashed, I remember telling him, if you ever, ever sing out loud in front of me again, that's it.
Oh, gosh.
It's over. It was horrendous. It was horrendous.
Oh,
he
no.
Needs
but
to
some
know
people
he can't
some,
sing.
Oh, yeah, fine. But some people enjoy singing even if they can't sing.
You can sing away in the shower where nobody's
They're called boys, though.
No, I think that's unfair. That's miming. That's a different thing.
Okay,
that's
right.
A whole different skill.
Don't get technical with me, Sean.
No, I mean, if you can't sing and you enjoy singing, sing in the shower or sing out in the bar garden or sing, but don't be trying to entertain people when you clearly have no gift for it. I don't know why anybody would stay stuck and just pretend.
Feel,
oh, that was
I
lovely.
Feel seen. Yes.
So, like, I mean, you know, this is ridiculous. Of course, tell him he can't sing, and would he stop singing in company if he wants to sing?
I think that those two things
I know,
are different.
How
things.
Do you tell him that though? Because you know, he
you just say you can't sing. You haven't a note in your head.
But I spent a month practicing to serenade you, and then you just sat there, and afterwards you cried tears of what I assumed was joy, and now you're telling me this.
But I appreciate the effort you went to, but like the result is not great, so maybe give it up. Don't be wasting any more time. Because
yeah,
you
but
know,
he's going to feel like
you can either
role playing here, kids.
You've
been lying to me. I want my Lego set back now. Thank you.
Have your Lego set back. That doesn't make my ears bleed. It just makes my feet sore every so often. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you would not tell him that he cannot sing. I mean, Sherwood, again, has no hobbies, right? So at Christmas, one of my daughters said, right, we're doing experiences this year instead of stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, you have to come up with something you want. And so he decided that he'd like some drumming lessons. So he started his drumming lessons last week. Now, I'm hopeful that perhaps, even though he hasn't got a note in his head and isn't a bit musical,
rhythm.
He might have rhythm.
Yeah.
But he'll still be told, like, if the drumming, if he gets into it, I don't know where the drum set's going to go, but I can't see
that's
it going there.
That's cool. I must say that's fantastic.
He's the furthest away from cool you could ever imagine.
I know, but I think it's you know.
Learning to drum.
You're like, have you ever thought there's a connection between the fact that he doesn't have any hobbies and the fact that every time he comes up with something, you crush his dreams, you stamp on them and you go, they're not good enough. And they're not good enough for you, Barbara, but they could be good enough for him. I think there's two different issues here. One is that this guy is picking up things and finding out whether he's interested in them and whatever. And that's, I think that's a good thing. I think exploring stuff, having different kind of experiences is a good thing. Deciding that you don't want to keep up with them isn't necessarily the sign of somebody who's not able to make a long-term lifetime commitment.
Totally agree.
So I mean, that's a bit hysterical of a kind of a response. But the other point would be that just because he likes singing and you don't like the sound of his singing, you don't trump him. You don't, your desire to have your desires, your judgment doesn't give you the authority to stop him.
Sorry,
permanently.
If somebody took up a hobby
like drumming.
No, not like drumming. I don't know. Like something else that was causing me to get a headache.
Like drumming?
Like drumming, maybe. yeah. If you had the drums in the house. I think you're entitled to say, you have to take this elsewhere. Like, as I say, if he wants to sing, sing in the shower, sing when you're down the end of the garden, sing when you're out for a walk. But just don't sing to me or where I can hear it.
Which is exactly what my point is. My point is that there will be times when the person is allowed to engage in their hobby of choice, regardless of whether they're good at it. Because some people like baking cakes and they make terrible cakes.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Some people like doing stamp collecting.
Well, that's a young people's thing.
Cakes?
It is. No, making cakes or cookies, you know, and there's two people living in the house, so... Who are you making all these? Who are you baking all this stuff for? What's it real? I think it's a real TikTok thing. They kind of—I don't know. Yeah, they.
That's how I got diabetes. That was before TikTok. Oh yeah, because when I retired to be at home, I decided, I would like to be a domestic goddess, and I thought it would be nice to learn how to bake. Now, I wasn't particularly brilliant. I didn't poison anybody, but I ate most of it myself.
Yeah,
so that's who I was baking for. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a TikTok thing.
Or it could be that nobody else liked your cookies and they didn't want to eat them because you were terrible at your hobby.
Did they say to you?
So they just didn't eat them.
Yeah, you see, there you go.
But that doesn't give you a headache.
Maybe just don't listen. Maybe get earbuds.
They might. I've been going out with my partner for nearly 40 years. She regularly would jibe at me about not being able to sing. She is not great with lyrics of songs. So in the last few months, I've started singing in the voice of the people who sang the lyrics to reply to her. I have successfully impersonated Old Blue Eyes, The Boss and Elton John. She didn't know the song, but the singer. Something weird going on with me.
What? And you're able to imitate people's voices. What?
Wow. So, yeah,
I thought he started by saying he couldn't
sing. Is that Oliver Callan?
Yeah, she's saying to him he can't sing, but when he impersonates other singers, it sounds like he can sing.
But Frank Sinatra could sing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like with singing, you're either on the note or you're not.
Yeah. Karen says, my poor husband took up the guitar. Me and the boys tried to be supportive, but it came to a point when he couldn't hold back the tears of laughter. He's taken up cycling since.
That's much better. Yeah, you see, I'm
much better than that question mark.
But you remember when your kids were young and they went, like two of the three of mine did, went through the phase of the tin whistle?
Oh, we're
getting a tin whistle. Yeah. And
that's
you
not
have
a phase.
Sit.
That's actually on the curriculum.
And you have to sit and listen to them murdering the tin whistle. But at least it was only a phase.
Yeah, but isn't that what this whole thing is about? It's about exploring whether or not you like something.
They're all pretending he can sing.
Yeah, but
no. Yeah. Enda says the simple line for the bad singer is to ask after the song, who sings that again? And when they answer, respond with, let's keep it that way.
That's better than my approach.
That's a good singer. Now, at the same time, Ed's pointed this out. This leapt out to me. Who asks someone to move in with them and their housemate? He sounds like a weirdo dumpum. That was kind of a little red flaggy, him and the housemate.
It's not like you know, in the olden days, perhaps if a relationship was going well, you and your new partner might go on to, you know, find, you know, the classified ads and find a new place to live. It's not that easy anymore. So
no,
sometimes,
the
domestic arrangements have to fit into what's there.
So is there any gentle way of telling them he can't sing?
No.
Or just wait until the phase passes because it seems to be.
I don't think this is about him not being able to. Like, the whole thing came out of a whole lot of other judgments.
It is about him not being able to sing.
But before
should I
that,
tell
it was
him
about
he may
him
not be as good as he thinks? That's the question. Yeah, you should tell him he's not as good. You should tell him he's terrible at singing and move on to something else. Take up painting. At least that won't give you a headache, even if he's awful at it.
Well, then he has to hang them. They'll be hanging all on the walls.
Yeah, you know, they're on there forever.
Yeah.
I thought you loved it. I feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah, because it seemed in the first half, she's kind of saying, I'm not sure about this guy. He's dropping things and taking things up. And now he's singing like mad, like he's you know, like a very skilled singer, and he doesn't realise it. I think she has doubts about the whole thing.
You're actually dead right.
Oh, gosh.
You're dead right, because
can
she said...
Can someone have a camera?
Wow.
Yeah, she said... No, you're absolutely dead right, because her opening line is, he's one of the sweetest guys, he's very supportive. But there isn't a, like, he makes my heart race, or he's very hot, and we have great fun together, or whatever. You're right, Sean. She's looking for an out.
Okay, well, there you go.
There you go.
So
you
just dump him.
Yeah, tell him, look, I can't be doing with the singing, so you carry on and I'll just carry on as well.
You've got to choose between the singing and me.
What?
No, choose.
No, I think Sean's right. I don't think she's all that much into it.
Yeah.
And I think she's looking for us to say, oh yeah, move on. Don't tell him he can't sing, just move on.
Me and my wife went to a Jess Glynn concert when we were just going out. I learned off a few songs so I could sing them at the concert. She'd no problem turning around and telling me that I was shite and to stop.
Yeah,
she wanted
exactly.
me to listen to the actual singer.
Yes.
Was the best thing for the relationship to survive.
There you go.
Kian.
See,
there
Sean learned that lesson as well, especially, and he made me sit through a Proclaimers concert once and I'll never forget it.
Well, you go.
He thought I couldn't hear him singing, and I thought the music is so bad anyway, and now he's singing as well. The whole thing was terrible.
Someone else says, maybe he's into it. Maybe he likes music. Since when is the girlfriend Simon Cowell?
Exactly. Why is she the final arbiter and why he's...
Like, you wouldn't allow somebody... You know the noise that you make if you put your fingernails down a blackboard?
Yeah.
If somebody took that up as a hobby, you would say, oh yeah, that's fine, I don't mind.
It's true.
It's the same. That's the same reaction you have when somebody can't sing.
That's not a hobby, Barbara. That isn't a hobby.
Well, it
might be for some
people.
It might be that ASDR thing, whatever you call it.
ASMR.
Yeah.
What's that?
You know, they make sounds. People make money out of this stuff on the internet. You can, you know, you rustle pieces of paper and people listen to it because it's calming.
Oh. Yeah. Yes. You wouldn't like it. You wouldn't approve, Barbara.
It's not to do with sex, is it again?
No.
Let's go there. We do know about other stuff.
Yeah. dump him from one side and Declan.
Just make, like, you don't have to listen to him. Tell him not to sing around you, but keep up the singing, you know, if it gives you joy. No, I think if it gives him joy, if it sparks joy, is.
Send him off to join a choir. That'll soon tell him he can't sing.
Well, you haven't heard half the choirs I've heard then, because.
They do that in a choir. They kind of make you sing by yourself, and then you kind of maybe get the message.
Do they not test you when you go to join a choir and say, okay, we need to hear you sing? And then
they absolutely do. I don't know if they do, or they put you at the back.
Yeah, some choirs have lower standards and it's more about just the crack.
When I was in school, this was before we cared really about the emotional and psychological impact on children. But I remember when we were singing, the teacher divided the class into the crows and the blackbirds, I think we were, or the larks.
We were.
And if you were a crow, and if you're a crow, you position yourself beside somebody who could sing and sing very, very quietly.
Right. Okay.
Wow. So, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be.
That's like an arranged marriage.
It is, really.
Not into that.
Right. Suck it up. It could be worse. He could be changing his partner every month. Says another texter.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Anyway, speaking about sparking joy, after a drunken conversation last Saturday night, my girlfriend now thinks I masturbate too much. For context, we were chatting away when I asked her if she masturbates. She told me she does the odd time, but not as much as she did when she lived on her own. She threw the same questions back at me, and I told her that I still do regularly. I was very honest. I told her that some weeks I do it 3 or 4 times, while other weeks it could creep up to 5 or 6 times. Things then got weird. My girlfriend suggested I shouldn't be doing it as much. Masturbating is something that I enjoy. It doesn't take away from our sex life. I just have a high sex drive, and this helps me control it. Should I reduce my self-pleasure, or should I continue it and not tell my girlfriend?
It's from Lisa.
Yeah, that's an inverted comma.
Oh, yeah, So in this one, like this, there's the idea of the partner deciding that there's a kind of a correct amount of masturbation that a person should engage in, which I find really interesting, and I'd like to know more about her thoughts on that. Aside from that, it's the kind of prescriptive bit where somebody is telling somebody else what to do with their body when they're not involved. I just have a problem with that. So I'm very quick to go, you know, unless you're into the kind of pornography addiction kind of, you know, or there's something about what you're doing that is affecting other parts of your life.
Hmm.
There's nothing wrong with being kind of metaphorically in touch with your body.
Yes.
And And there's nothing wrong with it, you know, being aware of what your own particular needs in that respect are. I think at the end of the day, it's not something that somebody else can moralize at you and go, oh, seven times, you know, a week, that's shocking, you know? So
yeah, putting a number on it is interesting.
That's what I meant, right. Yeah. It's the number that I find a bit kind of...
I think there's two conversations that you should never have with a partner.
Yeah.
Number one is how many people you've slept with before. And number two is how many times you masturbate.
Okay.
There's nothing to be gained on either conversation.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you think of my singing doesn't come into that?
Yeah. And I mean, in this case, obviously, like, the gate is open and the horse is gone down the road.
I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is that a technical term?
I don't know. It's conjures up all sorts of images, anyway.
Only with you guys.
Yeah.
But I think they've answered their own question, kind of. Should they reduce their self-pleasure or should they continue it and not tell the girlfriend? Yeah, like, you know, as I'm with Declan on this. Like, if it makes you happy, carry on. You're not harming anybody and you won't go blind and you're grand.
Yeah.
I wouldn't discuss it any longer. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about it. I wouldn't lie directly.
If she asks
directly, give a kind of fudgy answer, you know.
Yeah.
No, not really. Although I had a stressy week last week and, you know, maybe a bit more than that, you know. And just fudge it around. I do think the issue sometimes is, rather than a moral kind of judgment, is that I think sometimes a partner would feel that it was some kind of slur on their ability to satisfy your sexual needs. And that's why they feel uncomfortable about it. So I think just don't have the conversation. Just don't go there. And just, you know...
It was noted by me when I read it that one of the things that she does say is that, you know, this is something I enjoy, but it doesn't take away from our sex life. Now, I mean, I would ask just one kind of like one test question would be to say, are you sure? Do you know that for a fact? If that's the truth, then I keep with the advice I gave already. But if that whole thing about your partner not feeling fulfilled, if they've nothing to complain about, they've no reason to feel like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
whereas
I know what you mean. Yeah,
if
no,
you're not around and you're not making yourself available because you have a date with yourself, then obviously there is an impact. And if
but I get the impression that's not what's going on here.
Yeah, so that's what's in there.
So I think, you know, you keep that part just to yourself. And you don't need to kind of have a big discussion about it. And for anybody who hasn't had that discussion yet, don't bother.
Don't even ask.
Don't go. Don't go there. It's not good. Never good news.
I'm writing to you from my bed at 5 a.m. as I literally have nowhere left to turn. My family and I live in a semi-detached house. My bedroom is the boundary between my neighbour's bathroom and I. They have recently got home renovations done and have installed a shower which has the loudest pump in the world. The pump goes off every time they flush the toilet, wash their hands, and most annoyingly, when they're having long showers. It could be the previous questioner there. Anyway, one of the men in that house works shift work and he gets up to shower at 5 a.m. It wakes me and my kids as soon as it goes off. His wife then gets up at about 6 a.m. and has another long shower. This wakes me back up. In the evening, after they return from whatever form of exercise they are doing, it goes off again. Not to mention when they're children. This I don't mind. It's at normal hours. The bloody thing sounds like a drill going off all the time. I tried to call in and they said, we know it's loud, but there's nothing we can do. I'm going to cry if I get woken up by the bloody pump again. How do I resolve this dispute over the noisy shower?
Oh, God. I know people would be surprised to hear this, but I'm not a plumber and I don't really
you heard it here first, folks.
Really, wow. I kind of don't really understand what kind of a yoke that they have that the next door neighbour has that goes off. Like, we used to have a shower that was an electric shower and the thing on the wall was very loud. In the bedroom next to the bathroom, it was very, very loud. But it was only in the shower. This one goes off when they're flushing the loo and when they're turning the taps on the sink. So I don't know what class of a yoke they have that's doing all that.
It's a big pump thing.
It's a pump.
Yeah.
Okay. To pump the what? The pressure?
So it's the water pressure.
Yeah, so they have a pressure shower.
Oh, so they get, okay, right. Thank you very much. Now I know more than I did when I came in. But anyway, you know, for the reason that I'm not an expert on any of this, I think she needs to talk to a builder and see, is there possible solutions before she maybe goes and has another conversation with next door? Do you know, is there something, an alternative? Is there something they can do? The other thing that I would say is that, you know, obviously, and I've said this a million times, you don't want to fall out with your neighbours. That's very important. But at the same time, you need your night's sleep. You can't go through. You can't continue on if this thing is as loud as she says. It's highly likely that the family next door don't really appreciate how loud it is.
Yeah.
So I would suggest perhaps asking them to come in and just hear the noise in your bedroom when somebody has a shower, washes their paws, flushes the loo or whatever. I think then it's still a long shot, assuming that the next door people have spent money on getting this yoke in order to give them their power shower and their pressure, whatever.
And the consequences for them if it wasn't there.
Sorry,
like the consequences for them living in their house if they didn't have the pump would be to have no water pressure
shower.
And no, maybe just, not even any water in the the upstairs or whatever. So.
Yeah, well, again, as I say, I don't know. But I mean, then it's down to, and this is where she needs to talk to a builder, looking at if there are solutions out there. Maybe it wouldn't be that they could change the pump. Could they relocate it to a different part of the bathroom, maybe? It's presumably on the wall or I don't even know what a pump looks like. I have clearly not a clue what I'm talking about. But the other thing is there some kind of solution involving putting some kind of, like insulation in the wall or something that might soundproof her room a little bit? In which case, I think it would be fair if the neighbours offered to throw a few bob your way to help you do that because they are causing... I mean, the nuclear response would be to say, I'm going to see my lawyer, like this is just, you know, like noise interference and all the rest of it. You don't want to go there unless it's absolutely necessary.
But they probably wouldn't even be successful in that as far as I can see because to me... Like what's happening here is that there's one household is believing that it's set up, which is, you know, we sleep between this hour and that hour and we want quiet within this hour and that hour, overrides somebody else's set up, which is to get up maybe
but
an hour and a half
earlier. If you were having a party at 5 a.m, you'd be fully within your entitlement to kind of go, hang on, they're playing music at 5 a.m.
But it's
morning.
Not a party.
No, I
mean, it's like, it's something that's, you know, it's inherent to the domestic arrangement. And also that, you know, it's to do with the idea that some households or some homes or apartments are very much up on top of each other. And the idea, unfortunately, that you can get complete solitude and silence when you want it. It's a big ask because in a big city and you know
but there's a difference between having the normal ambient noise which I personally hate, like, you know, ambulances, traffic, whatever, and this thing that's on your wall and that's obviously loud enough to wake her up and wake the kids up.
So if there is something about the location of the pump that can be moved, but most of the time people it happens the way it happens because that's the most efficient or cost-effective way
for it
to happen.
As a neighbour, you should take into consideration if a neighbour comes into you and says, that is really very noisy in my house and we're not sleeping as a result of it, you'd have to take that on board and see if there's something you can do to alleviate. You're making interesting
faces. Well, they're saying there's nothing we can do, meaning we don't have the money.
We don't want to spend the money.
No, absolutely. Now, for instance, the neighbours or plumber obviously put in a cheap shower.
There you go.
Or put it in an inconvenient location. I'm assuming it's in the hot press. I can get rubber pump mats. This person seems to be trying to sell themselves. Rubber pump mats to stop vibrations, or tell the neighbours to buy a quality German or British shower pump with a low noise decibel. Or someone else says they can build a silencer unit over the booster pump.
There you go.
So
it can be done.
Fair
enough.
But you need to go. And I think the idea of bringing the neighbours into the house so they can hear for themselves how noisy it is would be...
Yeah. And someone else says the same thing. You can put a sheet of material put underneath it to stop the vibration from moving from the pump outwards. A good plumber would help with this.
There you go. See? Good plumber.
Well, that's if they're, you know, inclined to do it.
Good luck with finding a plumber. Never mind a good plumber.
Oh, blinking right,
But it's also effectively, you know, going into a neighbour and saying that, you know, you want them to get a good plumber so that you can have a good night's sleep. It's like that is, you know...
Well, I don't think you'd go in and hit it quite that boldly.
Yeah.
You'd first of all, hit the problem. Listen to this. Like, this is an issue.
Well, but they have already. And then the response
is... No, but they haven't been into the house. You know, they might... You know, if somebody came in and said, oh, we can hear your shower. Like, you're kind of like, really? But if it's that noisy... When we were away...
Nicholas says, had this shower and water pump issue with neighbours, and my dad is a plumber. The pump is not insulated. It needs to be set on an acoustic mat. Most Egypts leave it on timber or party walls, and it's infuriating.
There you go.
Okay.
So there you go. Thank you, Nicola.
Cheap
We've
job.
Learned something from Nicola.
Who pays for the plumber? Texter wants to know.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Do you know something? I think if I was her, I'd be like, I'll pay for the plumber.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
Yeah.
If that's
I
the solution.
I think if it was a bigger...
Pay for your own sleep at night.
Plumbers aren't cheap.
No, but what will it cost her? A couple of
what's
hundred,
the cost
maybe?
Of two
I know,
hours
maybe
sleep?
It will, but it's almost like rewarding idiocy to a certain extent.
Does the pump sit out from the wall? Like, is it in a cupboard or where
no,
would it be?
No, normally a pump it's would be in the hot, the yolk. It's in the hot press.
Oh, is it?
It's connected to pipes.
So the water would come from the thing through the pump.
So there wouldn't be, I'm trying to get at, they wouldn't have to redecorate their bathroom after insulating the pump.
No, unless you're talking about moving the pump, and then that's a nightmare. That's thousands.
That'd be a problem. Yeah, but if you can put a yoke, a mat, and insulate it in a box thinger, that would be... There you go. That's
I think it
solution.
Has to go onto it. Like that, it's the fact that it's on it. Sorry. That's
What were you doing there?
Declan gets passionate about his DIY.
I have a pump.
Oh, do you?
I'm pro pump.
And have you got like a quality German or British made pump?
I don't know. I don't identify electronics by the country of origin because I'm not in customs. But I'd like to think it's quality. It works from my perspective. If it bothers my neighbours, please drop
in
and let me know.
Press, or is it near a wall to your neighbour's house?
Well, all of my house is near a wall to a paper. I live in a small house.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where I was going with that. Like, I live in a small area.
If it's against
area.
The wall, a shared wall is what I'm talking about.
Now, but if you're in a terrace, it's if not. You're in a terrace house, say, like...
Yeah, but your back wall doesn't... Your back wall would be out to your garden.
Yeah,
your front wall would be out to the road.
You'd still hear that.
Barbara's also an architect.
Yes, as well.
It's like multi-skilled. Like,
I'm not a plumber, but I have a degree in architecture.
I'm not redesigning my home for you.
Though somebody says, Barbara, you can't just say to a neighbour, come and pop into my bedroom till I show you something.
I think she has, though.
And going back to the fellow with the issue about, you know, how often they self-pleasure, someone says, as long as he's not singing while masturbating, leave him at it. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break. After that, you can be a chef and get a free house.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.